في العبار منهي عنها كالتراخي عنها. Meaning, being extreme is forbidden, just like being laxed. So what he's saying is, achieving wellness and worship is what? Balance. So one of the themes that he's gone through the last few axioms is balance. Stay balanced. So he started with the idea of wellness, then he moved to sincerity, then he talked about worship and remembrance, and now he's talking about what? In that worship, because there's two things that make worship, that make our religion possible. Number one, it's meaningful, and we're going to talk about this in a second, it's sustainable. Is my Islam sustainable? Meaning, if I'm 23 and I'm hanging out with the three homies on the Faluka, the boat, at the Potomac at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're cursing all the Ummah and saying that everybody's wrong except us three people, am I going to be able to marry and do that? Am I going to be able to have kids and do that? That's not sustainable. It's like a diet. You're going to eat all the cream you want, but you are not going to die on keto. Well, you might. You can eat all the kale you want, but I do not believe you're going to continually eat kale biryani for the rest of your life. It's not sustainable. So Sheikh is saying, make sure the worship that you establish is avoid of being too extreme, going beyond what Islam asks, or neglecting what Islam asks. Then he says, watawassut, and moderation is what? Akhdu, the tarafain, is there are times where you need to be hard on yourself, and there's times where you don't. And what he means by that is fear and hope. So that takes us to the next point. Moderation is founded on fear and hope. A fear that pushes me to establish religion, but not excessively. Imam W.D. Muhammad, I don't know if there's any followers of Imam Muhammad here, but Imam Muhammad talks about being too drunk with religious wine. I love that metaphor. So he said, are you tipsy? A little bit too much religion in you. You can't walk straight. But at the same time, are you too sober? So there's that balance that he talks about. So Sheikh says, أَخْلُ بِطَرَفَيْنِ, meaning sometimes you need fear. Sometimes my teacher used to say the antibiotic of fear, like, man, dude, I'm just not wanting to do this. Remember hell, I'm good, okay. Right? And there's other times where I'm like, Allah hates me, Allah doesn't love me, it's all over with. I need the antibiotic of hope. Ibn Qayyim said, as we finish now, that religion has two wings, just like a bird has two wings. The wing of hope and the wing of fear. I like reverence better than fear, actually. Reverence. So he says, "At-tawassut akhdhu bi-tarafayni, fahuwa ahsanu al-umur." He said, and that's the best thing, that moderation that falls between being motivated by fear and reverence and excited and encouraged by hope. He said, that's tawassut. So the Prophet cried out of reverence for God, but he laughed out of love for God. So he's saying, have that balance. And he said, that's why the Prophet said, the best affairs, awsatuha, are those balanced. Then talking about people who spend, Allah says, lam yusrifu, those people who don't waste, but they're also not stingy. Wa kana bayna dhalika qawama, they're in the middle. It's a constant principle in the Quran, that moderation. And he mentions the verse where Allah says, when you pray, don't be too loud, don't be too silent, right? Be in the middle. Take that moderate path. And then at the end, he says something very beautiful as we finish. فَلَزِمْ أَتْتَوَسُّطَ فِي كُلِّ مُكْتَسِبٍ. So in, at the bottom, in every one of your efforts, in worship and outside of worship, try to find that moderation. It's not easy. In engineering, the hardest thing to do is achieve balance. Right? So achieving that balance is a process, not an event. We'll take a break. Inshallah, I think we need to pray, and then I think we have time to come back. And we'll try to run through a few more of these, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan. And we can also do part two. My mother-in-law's here, so I'm on trial, mashallah. Give it up for my mother-in-law, man. She's amazing, man. She's super shy, and she's hiding. But, Yeah, yeah. If you're down for Persian cuisine, man, nothing better. Mashallah. I think I put on 20 pounds. But, you know, I'm in the area, so we can also do part two. Because there's a lot. This is a process, but we'll try to come back, maybe take a little more, take some questions, and finish, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad. May Allah give you a long life, inshallah. So we'll continue, inshallah. We'll get as much done as we can, and then we'll do part two in the future. My family lives here, so I'm tethered, mashallah, to the area, alhamdulillah. And my family's here also, another way, Lauren and Muhammad, alhamdulillah. So we stopped where he said, you know, let's kind of frame where we started. He starts talking about the idea of wellness, internal wellness. Then he starts to talk about what are the keys to achieving internal wellness. And the first thing he says is sincerity, and then to be sincere means that I'm going to adhere to what the object of my sincerity is going to demand that I follow the path to the object. But he's like, the object of your sincerity, my sincerity, if it's Allah, then I'm going to live a life that shows that that's really the object of my sincerity. So he creates a sense of responsibility. And I actually love that. He doesn't outsource it to something or himself or to anyone. He's like, it's on you. Like, you got a ball. I'm going to give you the ball. Shoot it. Second thing is that he recognizes worship and living a life of remembrance. So those are two and three as a means to achieve sincerity, the process of sincerity, reframing these things as not events or moments, but processes. And that sometimes is one of the tricks of shaitan. Ibn Qayyim talks about shaitan causes us to look for the home run ball, man. Causes us to look for the three-point ball, you know? So we start bombing three spiritual three-pointers, but we keep missing. And the other team keeps scoring, right? We find ourselves behind. Whereas, appreciate the free throws. Appreciate, you understand what I'm trying to say? Appreciate the process. Everything that leads to that. Then he talks about the idea of worship is to help us be whole, not to be split, so that our life is seen for God, not just moments. Because if you think about it, an event-based faith is going to cause me to look for, and I said it earlier, events for worship. Whereas the Sheikh is saying, see your whole life as this canvas of opportunity. Not just like one little point here or there. Don't compartmentalize it. And then he talks about fear and hope as motivators. And the idea, and this is where we stopped, of balance. And he defines balance as being able to utilize reverence and fear and hope in the right time, the right place. And that's why studying life of Prophet Muhammad that I mentioned earlier, being around the broader community, a dangerous dawah, a dangerous expression of Islam is one that tells you the community is astray. Community is wrong. No doubt there are some things that are wrong in the community, but the community helps us mediate those wrongs over time. Inshallah. We should have instigators that help us mediate them. So he says, التشديد في العبادة مجيد عنه كالتراخي عنها. So he said, and I mentioned this earlier, that being extreme in worship is as forbidden as being laxed in worship. والتوسط أخذ بطرفين. And being balanced is using both of those raw materials of fear and hope when needed. When needed. And then after mentioning a number of verses, he mentions a very important incident that happened in the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, where a group of young men came to Sayyidah Aisha, radiallahu anha, and they asked her about the Prophet's devotion. And when she told them, like, this is how the Prophet was, they said, like, wallahi, I'm going to never sleep again. Like, I'm going to pray all the time at night. The other person said, I'm going to fast, you know, forever. And the other person said, like, I'm never going to get married. I'm just going to live a life of celibacy. When she told the prophet that this is what they said, he ran to them. And he said to them, you know, and the sheikh, he quotes it. He said that, وَكَانِ يَقُومُنَ لَيْ نِصْفَةً. You know, that he says to them, أَصُمْ وَأَنَامْ, I mean, أَصَلِّ وَأَنَامْ, I pray and I sleep. أَصُمْ وَأَفْطُرْ, I fast. Sometimes I don't fast. And I marry. So, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, whoever, you know, swerves from my sunnah is not from me. The idea of balance. Sustainability coupled with meaning. Meaning with sustainability. So meaningful would mean like I see someone that does something really, really interesting and kind of like hits me, but is that sustainable? Something may be sustainable, but I don't have passion in it. So I want to marry that. The awe moment with pragmatism. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the bottom he says, فَلْزِمْ التَّوَسُطَ فِي كُلِّ مُكْتَسِبٍ لِأَنَّهُ أَرْفَقْ بِالنَّفْسِ وَأَبْقَى لِلْعِبَادَةِ. Exactly what I just said. He said, so cling to being moderate. In the future, if we had time, we'd define moderation in greater detail. He says, but stay moderate in everything because that's kinder to your soul. Like, care for yourself. Self-care is something we should think about. There's a great book called The Resilient Clinician. It's like a really good book about like self-care. So I'm resilient, but like I'm caring for myself. And he said, and also that will allow you to sustain worship. أَبْقَى. You'll be able to keep the relationship of worship. Right, if we can scroll. What? Oh, okay, I see you. Get the birthday cake and just get in all kind of cool stuff. The next thing that some people tend to do as they blossom spiritually is they think that, you know what, I need to make things difficult on myself. And sometimes trying to create difficulty is convoluted with like Allah's pleasure. Like sometimes you see people online, they're like, man, you know, we suck as American Muslims. We have jobs, we eat nicely, we live in neighborhoods. Nah, man, you should rock that for something good. Like, don't feel bad about it. That's like strange. I should feel bad about it if I'm not using it, if I don't use that privilege, right, to make a better world. So he says, Al-ajru ala qadr itba'. Again, it's phrased like an axiom, like a legal axiom that says, reward is based on the adherence to who you claim to follow. So like, if I claim to follow the Quran, if I claim to follow Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, my adherence to that is where my reward is. La ala qadri al-mushaqqa, not on how hard something is. Like that has nothing to do with it. So he's like, don't make things hard for yourself. Just follow. Sometimes people want to like make things harder than they are. So, like I said, I'm going to pray Maghrib like 10 times. Let's pray once. That's where the ajr is. The ajr is following the Prophet. Not decreasing it or increasing it. Al-ajru ala qadri al-itba'. It's a very beautiful axiom. Which means your reward is based on how you follow. It's not about I want it to be hard or I want it to be easy. It's about following what's right. And that also helps me limit, and it's not completely possible, my desires in this. So I can say in my own life, my early conversion, you know, I thought it was about being hard, so I destroyed relationships. That's not sustainable, man. My mother was like, you know, I would like if Islam wasn't for you. I was like, what? She's like, son, you're wild, like, no TV, no music, no meat, no this, no, like, I don't get all this, right? I went in hard. Whereas, al-ajru ala qadr itba', follow. La ala qadri al-mushaqqa, not because you've made it hard on yourself. We have a famous axiom in Islamic law, al-mushaqqa tajibu tasir, the opposite, that when you're faced with real hardship, ease comes in and buttresses you. Like, for example, you're at the mall, you're scared to pray. Can you pray sitting? You pray sitting. You pray in your car. You can pray in your car. You have your kids with you. Can you go and pray in the dressing room? You pray in the dressing room. Those are like axioms that come in and ease, not making things hard. Allah says in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ لِيُسْرًا وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمْ أَسْرًا. Allah wants things to be easy for you. Not easy to the point where I'm not adhering, but not in the sense of a hardship that becomes counterproductive. So Shaykh, he says, الْأَجْرَ عَلَى قَدْرِ إِتْبَاعِ لَا عَلَى قَدْرِ مُشَقَّةِ. And he said, that's because لِفَضْلِ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْمَعْرِفَةِ وَالذِّكْرِ وَالْتِلَاوَةِ عَلَى مَا هُوَ أَشْفَى مِنْهَا. So he's saying, at the end of the day, if someone has understood and worshipped and acknowledged internally, that's more difficult than physical hardship. So what he's trying to say is, don't use physical difficulties that you may have created for yourself as a means to tell you that you're doing great. Because that's not what's asked of you. What's asked is for you to understand, internalize, and find sweetness in worship. And he said, that's harder. Yeah, it's a little different now. So the external self-imposed hardships may actually mask spiritual laziness. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, you may understand that there's certain hadith where he said to someone, for example, like, your reward is based on hardship. It's very important when we read hadith like this, and the Prophet is talking to someone, we research who he's talking to. And then we go into the explanations of early scholars, and even that person who would say, for example, he was just talking to me. That wasn't for everybody. I had a specific case. We have to understand something, especially in hadith. There are times when things are specific to the person asking the question. Like the famous hadith where the Prophet said, ask your heart. He was talking to someone, al-wasit, who was considered a mufti. So he can ask his heart, he knows. But the general rule in the Quran is what? Fas'alu ahla dhikr. Ask. Ask people. So the Shaykh is saying, don't confuse by what I said. If you've read the hadith where the Prophet says to someone, like, the more difficult, the more reward you get, he said, فَهَذَا إِخْبَارٌ خَاصٌ فِي الْخَاصِ. This is a specific situation that demanded a specific response. It's not for everybody. And also, he's reining in the Sufis who started to do these really difficult acts of worship. It, like, for example, I have a friend from Pakistan. His grandfather, mashallah, passed away. But the friend from his neighborhood, he was told by someone, his friend used to drink, and he made Tawbah. So he went to the local Pir Sahib, the Sheikh, and he said, what can I do? He said, you should go live in a graveyard for 40 days, and you should stay in the empty grave. And he did it. And you know, subhanAllah, man, he has now like mental problems. The Sheikh is saying, like, it's not about this, about how hard something is, how difficult something is. La. The reward is adhering to the Prophet's teachings. Not introducing your own potential. And how many times has it happened to us when we want to come back to Allah? All we have to do is make tawbah. But shaitan will tell you, like, that's too easy, man. That's what he's saying here. Don't be deceived by that stuff. Just do. Like if the Prophet said, make tawbah, alhamdulillah. Have confidence in that. Don't inject things in there that aren't there. If we can go to the next one, inshallah. And then he also mentioned the hadith there, خَيْرُ دِينِكُمْ أَيْسَرَةً. You know, like, the best religion is the easy religion. Ease doesn't mean neglect. When Sayyidah Aisha, and also he said, this is how I explain the other narration where he said to the person, you know, your hardship brings reward. When Sayyidah Aisha said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, مَا خَيْرَ رُسُسٌ بَيْنَ أَمْرَيْنِ إِلَّا أَنْ خَيْرَ بِهِ أَيْسَرِهِمَا. This narration of Sayyidah Aisha from Bukhari, that whenever the Prophet had a choice between two things, he took the easier way as long as there was no sinful behavior involved.
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Now, he brings us into a more responsible approach towards living a spiritual life as a Muslim. So he says, مُرَاعَةُ الشُّرُوط فِي مَشْرُوطِهَا لَازِمٌ. It's very similar to what he said earlier. Mura'a is what a shepherd does. Like, mura'at al-ibal, you know, like, shepherds the camels, looks after them and guides them. So he says, mura'at al-shurut, looking after conditions. And the word he uses, this is a legal word, by the way, in the books of fiqh, shurut, shart, looking after the conditions that will cause this worship and this relationship with God to happen, لازم لمريدها, are an obligation for someone who claims to want them, to want it. Like, if I want God, then I'm going to find out what are the conditions that I have to live that will make that relationship possible. This is something you can apply to anything. You know? If, like, someone says, you know, I want to get lean, and then they're like at King's Pizza smashing freaking jumbo slices, that's not living the shurut. Someone may ask, why are there conditions of worship to keep us from delusion? To help us monitor ourselves. So if I state that I want to have a spiritual relationship and I want to be close to God, but then I'm not changing my life, I'm not making incremental changes, I'm not being honest. So the Shaykh, he says, مَرَاعَةُ الشُّرُوط لَازِم, looking after and shepherding those conditions that are going to allow me to achieve what's conditioned upon them are an obligation for the one who claims to seek that thing, God. وَإِلَّا لَمْ يُصِحْ وُجُودُهُ لَهُ. And he says, at that moment, if someone tries to establish that relationship without those conditions, it won't be authentic, even if the physical appearance is there. So for example, I pray without niyyah. The physical appearance is there, but the condition is not there. Imam Ibn Ta'ala Iskandari, who had a great influence on this writer, Ibn Ta'ala, wrote a book called Al-Hikam. He said, Al-Ikhlas. He said, Al-A'malu suratun qa'ima. He said, all your actions are like mannequins. All your actions are like empty shells. Wal-haya, and the life inside those shells, wujud sirri ikhlasi fiha, is the appearance of sincerity inside it. Like, sincerity is the oxygen that brings life to actions. So he's just giving like one condition. Shaykh, when he's talking about conditions, he means the inner, the outer. So salah, my inner, is my niyyah. The outer is wudu, for example. I'm facing the qibla. I pray on time. So those conditions are met. I think our scroller is occupied. Allah bless her. This may be, And then he begins to start to talk about how you establish this relationship and what you want to attach to and the attachments that you see yourself trying to achieve and the objects of your attachment. So he said, إِذَا صَحَّ الْأَصْلُ قَصْدُ فَالْعَوَارِيُّ لَا تَدُرُ. It's really beautiful. Which means if the foundation is sound, if the foundation is sound, oppositions is not really the good word, man. Al-awarid are things that suddenly happen. Things that just happen. That out of suddenly happening can become an opposition to you. Like unexpected opposition, maybe is a good word. So he said, إِذَا صَحَّ الْأَصْلُ, if the foundation is sound, Al-awarid لَا تَدُرُ, then those unexpected moments of opposition are not going to sway you from your purpose. So here he's touching on two more things. Number one, sincerity. And number two, consistency. Like, if I really want something, and if I really claim to want it, I'm going to stay focused on it. I'm not going to be dissuade from certain moments of things that come out of nowhere. I got my eyes on the prize. So for example, Jannah, if my focus is paradise, then nothing is gonna throw me off course. I may take an exit, I may stop for a minute, grab something from, you know, Starbucks, but I'm getting back on. But opposition, what happened? Al-awarid will happen. So what he's talking about now is tests, trials, hardships, failures. Things don't go our way. Sometimes people say something interesting to me. They say, you know, I don't feel anything in my prayer. So what? Some of our scholars used to say, whoever worships Allah for a feeling has worshipped the feeling. Meaning, you don't have to feel anything. Like, alhamdulillah, one of the highest levels of worship is to worship Allah and be happy with worship because it's worship. So I've disassociated my, you know, the brain, maybe you like had some basbousa, right? Before salah, it's like this amazing sweet. It's like gulab jamun in the Arab world. Like, it's like apple pie for us down south. Like, you had some cobbler, man, you know, with like everything. So your brain is like, you're feeling good. It's not the salah. It's your pancreas and your brain. And they're reacting. So the shaykh, and if you think about it, there's a subtle beauty there. That if I'm worshiping the transcendent being for a material feeling, I've corrupted my worship. I mean, I'll take it though. If Allah wants me to feel good, hey, I'm down, you know? But that's not why I worship. And it not being there is not a sign that it's not accepted. One time a brother came to me, he's like, I'm angry. I stayed up every night the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and I don't think I experienced Laylatul Qadr. I was like, how did you not experience it? Like, if you stayed up every night, you experienced it. He's like, man, I didn't feel anything. But that's not why you're there. Like, that doesn't mean that you're not experiencing it. The higher maqam is that the asl is sound. I'm worshiping Allah because Allah is Allah. Same thing in activism. You go out, you struggle, you work hard. We have a sister, mashallah, right now, I'll put her on Instagram. She's amazing. She's at the border of San Diego. She wrote me, she's like, there's 4,000 kids being detained. I don't think what I'm doing is right. Like, what do you mean? You're right. The success doesn't have to be in this world. If you did it and it's right, it's right. Sometimes we struggle with our parents, especially marriage. I get it every week. Someone's like, me and this brother, me and this sister, we know each other for 5 years. We kept it halal, alhamdulillah. And our parents won't allow us to marry because whatever strange reason that's not religiously sanctioned. If you're right, you're right. Doesn't mean go wreck your family, but try to work through it and be confident. If the usul is sound, it's not going to be hurt. So if I'm worshiping Allah and my sincerity is because God is God, if I didn't get a high from it, it don't matter. Because I'm serving God. That's what he's saying here. Like, don't be rocked by things. The absence of something, the presence of... Or if I worship Allah and I get this amazing feeling, don't get it twisted. Don't now let me tell myself like, ooh, I'm special. Really? People always come to me. I saw Sayyidina Muhammad in my dream. Man, God bless you. So what? How you treat your kids? Did you mow the yard? Are your parents happy with you? When the Prophet ﷺ died, what did the Sahaba ask his wife? How did he act in the house? Because they already knew everything. But what they didn't know is, how was he really? Is he a little different? She said, "Kana fi khidmati ahli." He served his family. And they were like, I knew it. Right? He's not moved. Doesn't change. Stays focused. doesn't get blinded by spiritual success, doesn't become depressed by assumed spiritual failure. You sin. When I was studying, we had a student, he kept sinning. He had a challenge with an issue. He kept coming to our teacher. He's like, I don't understand why I can't do it. He said, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Because you can't do it.